What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. I'll be your host, and as we continue to grow, I'll have friends joining me each week to interview some of the leading experts in the fields of motivational speaking, mental health, ministry, and even sports. Our goal is to instill hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today, and our prayer is that after each episode, you'd be more equipped and encouraged to look, love, and live more like Christ from the inside out. That's our definition of what it means to be built different. So I hope you're ready. You better buckle up. Let's roll. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode with Chuck and Ashley Elliott, two of the greatest in the business, really, to talk about mental health in terms of grief and loss. Hope you guys were able to glean so much from that just beneficial episode that we had with them last week. But this week, we're going to be talking all things faith, football, family, and mental health, four of my favorite topics today, with one of the greatest defensive players in NFL history. He was a safety for the Philadelphia Eagles and Denver Broncos. It's Mr. Brian Dawkins is going to be in the house with us today. Man, this dude, not only did he have a 16-year NFL career unlike any other, one of the most decorated careers of all time. He earned 9 trips to the Pro Bowl and first-team All-Pro honors 5 times. I mean, that's definitely something to talk about, you guys. But today's conversation, it's going to be all around some of the lessons that Brian learned about leadership when he was growing up, some of the mental health challenges and difficulties and the adversity he faced, even throughout his professional career, but then also how his faith in Christ helped him navigate and overcome every obstacle that he's come up against in life. You guys, this is one of the greatest testimonies I've heard in a long time. This is a guy who had everything that you can imagine in terms of the fame and the fortune, yet he was empty internally. But yet God was able to fill that void. That's what you'll hear Brian share several times in and throughout today's episodes, that God was his anchor in and throughout some of the difficulties in life. One of my favorite verses that it really reminds me of is Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2, which say, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name because you are mine." Then it goes on to say, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." You see, God is a loving God who is constantly pursuing each and every one of us. And the beautiful thing about it is that even when we're going through times of difficulty and challenge and adversity, God reminds us of what he has already done. You see, what God was saying in those verses to the Israelites is, remember, I parted the sea for you to walk through. I dried up the Jordan River for you. I kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego safe in the midst of the fiery furnace. I don't allow bad things to happen to you. Really, I'm in the midst experiencing those challenges and difficulties alongside of you. Let me be your guide. Let me be your leader. Let me be somebody on which you can stand and build the foundation of your life on. And let me reveal your purpose to you in the midst of your pain. You guys, that's the type of God that we get to serve. And I pray that that's the message you hear from Brian Dawkins today in and throughout the entire episode. So you guys, I cannot wait to share with you guys just an incredible conversation. Let me introduce you to my friend, Mr. Brian Dawkins. Mr. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Zach.
Man, what a blessing it is to have the opportunity to sit down with truly one of the greatest defensive players in not just NFL, but football history. You had an All-American career at Clemson, went on to become a Hall of Fame NFL safety, who had the opportunity of playing in the league with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Denver Broncos. During your 16-year NFL career, you earned 9 trips to the Pro Bowl, as well as received first-team All-Pro honors 5 times. You were named to the NFL 2000s All-Decade Team, as well as being a member of the Eagles Hall of Fame, where your jersey number 20 was retired in the year 2012. Brian, as being one of the most popular Philadelphia athletes of all time, this past year, dude, you were everywhere. I mean, all over everything, from the coin tosses to all the NFL playoff games with the Eagles. Phillies were in the World Series. What was it like for you just to experience the excitement and the electricity within Philly again?
Wow. First of all, it was an absolute blessing. And for those who don't know me, you won't know this until I say what I'm about to say. I always look at the success in my life through my 16-year-old eyes. Mm-hmm. So my 16-year-old self did not think a whole lot about himself. He didn't know what he could do. He was overlooked a whole lot. He felt he was angry all the time. So that 16-year-old self, when I look through that lens and I see me now being called upon by the Philadelphia Phillies to do specific things, to come call back by the Philadelphia Eagles, right? To come to be a part of the city, you know, so all of those things, I don't take none of that for granted. So when I look through his eyes, I'm still amazed that it's me being called upon to do these things. So to be a part of that, to have, you know, my number retired and all of those things by, once again, the Philadelphia Eagles, the NFL franchise. So all of those things are just things that just blows me away. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord has blessed me the way that he's blessed me.
Sir, two things that a lot of people remember you as, right? Someone who worked incredibly hard, but also somebody who was incredibly humble. Today's episode, I actually have titled it Developing a Weapon X Mindset, right? Something I know about you from everything I've read and I've heard from just countless numbers of your teammates is not only were you humble and a hard worker, but you were one of the greatest leaders these guys have ever been around. And something I also know, though, is Vince Lombardi's quote, leaders aren't born, they're made, right? You come from a home that I know that you had both mom and dad who were active and they were present in your life. They were heavily investing in you. What are some of maybe the early lessons you learned, Brian, that you've been able to carry throughout life and develop to really help shape the leader that you've become today?
And you're right. It's like I was blessed to have my mom and my dad in the household. And when I say my dad was a present father, he was a present father. He was just not a name in the household, not just a space holder. He was literally present in the household. And I learned so much from both of them. You know, I learned from my father, you know, I guess a couple of things. I learned a whole bunch. That's why I paused, because I learned so much from him. First of all, of how to treat my wife, how to treat a woman, how to be the provider of a home. But also, he taught me something specific that I use to this day. He taught me what you start, you finish. And not only do you start and you finish it, you give max effort the duration of it. And then you stay coachable the whole time. Wow. So that formula has blessed me in so many ways, so many times, because once I get into a situation, if I tell you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it full speed. I'm going to give max effort. And then if you tell me then something to slow down or I need to do something different, I have open ears to take that those critiques to fix the thing that I need to fix to make the thing that I'm doing better. Now, if you take that same premise of what I just said and you put it into the word of God, you do everything as unto the Lord, you will do things. You will live life in that way. And my mom taught me how to fight. My mom, she taught me that when you start something, you don't start something, but you finish it. If they're bigger than you, you pick up something and you handle your business in so many words. But it wasn't just that. She said that you fight in such a way, though, as that they have to pull you off. That's how you fight, right? So growing up in a neighborhood in Jacksonville, Florida, where I grew up, I've had to do those things. I've had to use those teachings. But in life, when I go after something and I'm going to fight for something, yeah, you're going to have to pull me off that thing because I'm going to go get it. So my NFL career, you know, this is not something that was, you mentioned all of those accolades at Clemson. People don't know that I didn't get to Clemson on like my law or my ability. I got it because a good friend of mine who was my teammate, Patrick Sapp at Clemson, at Raines High School, he was a high recruit. So basically he told Clemson, if I come to Clemson, Doc got to come with me. That's how I got there. Wow. So it wasn't because of me, because I was this stud dude coming out of high school. No, it was because he was a stud dude. And he said, Doc going to come with me. But the way that I've always looked at it, I took those formulas that my mom and dad, my dad taught me, and then I applied it to Clemson. So I knew once I got my foot in that door, you're not going to hold me back from doing what I want to do, because I'm going to outwork everybody around me, because I'm going to constantly give max effort. I'm going to go hard all the time, and you're going to have to tell me to slow down. I call that being a pullback person. I'm a pullback person. You got to tell me to slow up. You should never have to tell me to give more. To finish something. No, you got to tell me to slow down because I'm going so hard, right? And I'm a fight. Yeah. I'm a fight. I'm going to fight until I've gotten so many IVs in my life because my body has given out before my mind does. So that's what I said. You can't break me. So that mentality is how I approached going to Clemson, and I was able to achieve the things that I achieved in Clemson in order to get into the next level.
Man, I love that, Brian, because as you're saying, talent will get you so far. But if you don't have those intangibles, right, what you start, you finish, right? Doing it with every ounce of effort you can possibly give, being and remaining coachable and humble throughout, and then never stop fighting, scratching, clawing, whatever it takes to get you to the desired goal or result. Man, that's what you have. That's what you really have shown so many and displayed so well and in throughout your career, but now and in throughout your life. And so, Brian, you know, something else that I think is so pivotal in your life and what I appreciate about you is how you are unashamed of the gospel. Yeah. Right? I read about you and I've listened to some interviews that you actually came to know Christ at an early age, in 1991, actually. And since then, you've continued to grow and just develop and foster that relationship with him. Speak into the lives of the listeners today about how important that relationship has been in your life and how it's been the foundation on which you've built everything that you've become, but ultimately helped you navigate even some of the stormy and murky waters that you've gone through as well.
Amen. Amen. Wow. That is the foundation of who I am. It is. The inventor of a thing, the creator of a thing, is the individual that you need to ask what the thing is made for, right? So some of the things that I had early on in my life that was being used in the wrong way, some of the passion that was anger at the time, it was just passion in disguise, but I was using it as anger all the time. I was angry. I was an angry young man. I didn't know that that was something that was going to bless me in a tremendous way once I began to channel it in the right direction, right? So my faith in Jesus Christ and me studying the Word of God and me grabbing bits and pieces along the way of verses that I call my fighting words. So these are words that I fight with. I fight the enemy, yes, but I fight my flesh as well. So one of them in particular is in the book of James. James 1:19-20, I believe, says that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because man's anger does not bring about the righteousness that God desires. So that formula blessed me: being slow to anger, being quick to listen. So I began to learn that I needed to channel the things, and I can give you a whole how the Holy Spirit gave it to me, but I'll listen to the Holy Spirit. So he gave it to me like this: when a flash flood happens, it destroys everything in its path, everything, flash flood. But if there's a dam up and that same flash flood happens, the dam has vents, and those vents can be opened up. And as the water pushes through those vents, it gives power to generators to generate tremendous energy. That was my anger. And when my faith became those walls, now I can choose how to use this energy when I want to use it on game day. Oh, it's go time. I open the vents as wide as possible, right? Yep. So I now control that. It no longer controls me, because that's what our emotions are for. Our emotions are a gift from God, but we're supposed to control them. They're not supposed to control us. So these are things that I began to learn as I began to study the Word more, study to show thyself approved, right? Study the Word more. And it became more and more verses I added to me so that I can go into every life situation. And when something happens, if it's something that goes against the Word of God, I have a word to combat it. And I memorize these things, but it's not just a memorization thing. It's a heart thing. It's in my heart. It's a part of my DNA now, right? So that when these things happen, the Holy Spirit's voice is so loud, because my emotions are so quiet now. My Holy Spirit's voice is so loud, I immediately repent for things that it took me weeks to repent before, right? So again, that's this development over the years of me studying in the Word of God, me beginning learning how to journaling now, you know, all of these things. All of these things have given me the ability to once again allow the things that I once thought was a detriment, that was hurting me, and other people would say it as well, to be the thing that has blessed me the most. Does this make sense?
Yes, 100%. And I love hearing you talk about this, because what I'm hearing is, you know, I think of it in my own life personally too. You know, I'm not just a Christian. It's not just my value system, but I've taken on that identity of being a child of the King, right? Being a child of God. And so it's really infiltrated every aspect of my life, as it has yours as well. And I love what you talk about in terms of channeling, right? How the Holy Spirit channeled that pain and that passion, right? To become a purpose, to be able to bring honor and glory to His name through the game of football. And I think God loves nothing more than to use people through which He channels His message of hope, of encouragement, of motivation into the lives of other people. And that's exactly what you have been able to do and become. And so, sir, I commend you for that. And I'm so incredibly thankful for that. But one thing I also know about you, Brian, is that you're no stranger to pain and challenge and adversity. You've been very open and even vulnerable, even being a Christian, right? It doesn't make life easier, you know what I mean? But it does make us stronger for the fight that we find ourselves in. You've opened up a lot about struggling with depression and struggling even to the point of suicidal ideation, and being somebody that works in the mental health field. I'm a counselor. I work in sports psychology, work with a lot of athletes. I'm so thankful for people like you who speak up and they're open about these things, because I played college baseball, had the opportunity of going on and playing at the next level, but I chose to get into this profession because I felt called by the Spirit myself.
Amen.
My thing is this: I get what it's like to face pressure and to face that adversity. And then when you're playing at the highest level, right, the higher you go in athletics, the smaller the skill gap closes. Then all of a sudden it becomes a business. Then all of a sudden you have all of these different things like fame and fortune knocking on your door. Brian, what was it like for you as you navigated just all of that pressure? And how did you find, I don't know, just the answer to overcome it all?
Yeah, and it's a lot of layers to this. It's like I think it was Shrek that said it's like an onion, right? It's a lot of layers to this thing. The first thing is I did not know what I didn't know at the time as far as men talking, right? I was brought up, we didn't talk about a whole bunch of touchy-feely stuff. I'll say it like that. We talked about sports a whole lot. We talked about things of that nature, but it wasn't a bunch of touchy-feely stuff. And in the neighborhood, the way that I saw it is that it was taught, rub dirt on it, suck it up. You're a man, suck it up. Especially being an African-American, you suck it up. You deal with, don't ever let anybody see your emotions. Hide them, pull them, suck them up, suck it up, deal with it, right? And there's some things you can do that way. I dig it. I really do. I dig it. But you can't do everything that way. And so I was using that formula to everything. And so things that I've seen in my neighborhood, things that have happened, things that I've seen happen to my friends, and things, you know, losing a couple of my friends early to the streets from gunshots. Like, I was keeping all that stuff inside, right? Because you're supposed to suck it up, deal with it, right? You can't. You can't. And so because all of those things were trapped inside of me and I'm trying to hold on to them, just like, I'll give you another example. You know, again, this is how the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Yeah. It's like cleaning up every room in your house besides one, but you've eaten in that room and you continually go in and out of that room and you leave trash in that all the time and you never clean it up, but you clean up the whole house. Eventually, the stench in that room will begin to leak into the other areas of the room, right? It's the same thing in our lives. Those things that we think we got bottled up in this little area here, right? They begin to leak into other areas in our life. It may come out as fits of rage. It may come out as insensitivity. It may sometimes come out in some people in alcoholism, right? Because you're trying to drown away the pain.
That's right.
Numb the pain from holding this thing so tight for so long. And you can't do it all the time. So you're going to drink a little bit so that you can let it out, but you won't know it's there because you're intoxicated, right? So does this make sense?
Absolutely.
And so I began to do some of that as far as drinking is concerned, to hide some of those things that I was not talking about. And that's why I went through that period of depression. You had the new NFL, you had Me and Connie, we were newlyweds. We had our first son, and he was you know, colicky. So he was crying all the time. Nobody was really sleeping. And I had all these other pressures as far as the NFL is concerned, of things that were expected of me. And again, I'm talking to nobody about none of these things. All of these pressures, nobody's hearing about it because I'm not talking to anybody. So ultimately, I imploded. Things, I couldn't hold on to all of this stuff I was holding on to, which you're not supposed to. And then I imploded. And the last straw was me, you know, running my head through a wall after an argument, during my rookie year with my wife and my Connie and my uncle, and Emmett Thomas, who was my defensive coordinator. They basically grabbed my hand saying, "No, you're going to see somebody because you got to get help." And I knew it. I knew it too. I went and got help, talked to somebody for a little while, very uncomfortable in the beginning. But I began to talk about the things that I had talked to nobody about, nobody, and what that did for me. And I took medicine for a little while as well, which I did not like. But what that did for me is it quieted my emotions enough. Mm. And I began to hear the Holy Spirit like a megaphone.
Yeah.
So that's what that period in time did for me. I eventually then, which you're not supposed to, I'm not telling anybody to do this if you are, right? But I felt led, I went cold turkey on taking that stuff. Like I just stopped taking the medicine. And I began to do specific things that I do to this day, every morning. I pray, I read, I meditate and journal every morning. Mm. And it started then. All of this started then because I was like, okay, I feel good because I was thinking about feelings then. I didn't understand the significance of the Holy Spirit. I was just more into feelings at that point. So I feel good. I feel lighter, but this is not going to last. So I asked the Holy Spirit, so what could I do to grow? Like, I don't want to stay here. I'm not going to stay here. What can I do? And that's what he gave me. He gave me the things that I just mentioned. And I've been doing those things ever since. But see, what that did for me, though, is the focus in my life switched to a God-centered wow. thing that I began to read. I began to study. I began to do. I went cold turkey on music. I stopped listening to everything that I used to listen to. If it wasn't gospel, if it wasn't jazz, after my this is my second year in the league. If it wasn't gospel, if it wasn't jazz, if it wasn't something that's inspirational, I didn't listen to it. And that was brutal. That was brutal. But I starved my flesh. I starved it of the things that I had gotten used to for so long. Mm-hmm. And that is from the pushing and urging of the Holy Spirit, though, again. So that became the center focus of my life, is to make sure that I do things to not grieve the Holy Spirit, to live a life that reflect the glory of God that is in me. And as I've and some of this, I'm trying not to get too deep into what I know now, because I wouldn't have said it back then the way that I'm saying it now.
Yeah.
But it was a deep dive into, listen, I want to reflect Christ in what I do. I want people to see the different version of me and me live a life, a righteous life before you, Lord, because had I not done that, listen, I would not be here. And I always say it like this. Had I listened to that dark voice that was talking to me during that dark time, my three daughters would not be here.
Mm.
Right. And I wouldn't be here. Sure. So that's the power of coming and just giving myself over to Christ. Because you mentioned something that we all go. The Bible says it like that, that storms will come against the just and the unjust.
Right.
So just because we ask Christ into our lives, don't think it's going to be smooth sailing. Mm-hmm. But that's when we develop the relationship with Christ, that he had the relationship with God when he can sleep in the bottom of a boat when a storm is happening. That's the peace that we can have. We can go to sleep when storms are happening in our lives because mm-hmm. we know we're not in control. God is. He got us. And if he says we're going to go to the other side, doggone it, we're going to the other side, no matter what it feels like in the moment. So these are some of the things that I understand now more so than I ever have. But back then, just diving into the Word of God, there's certain books that I have on my shelf. One of them is called The Application of Life. It's a Life Application Bible. And it had a whole bunch of topics in it. And so I would just go through each one that I would be feeling and struggling with. And I would look it up, look up anger, look up lust, look up. So I'm looking up. So again, I'm adding these verses to my memory, to my DNA, so that when those feelings come, I can speak just like Jesus did when when the enemy came. What did he do? He hit him back with the word. So I can hit him back with that word. Let me stop so I can let you ask some questions now.
Man, Brian, come on. That's a word right there, my friend. Let me tell you, it reminds me of a story that John Gordon once told me, a motivational speaker. He was talking about a guy named Dr. Gills who had competed in 6 different double Ironmans in his career, the world record. His 6th one was actually over the age of 50. So this dude is, I mean, he's built different, literally. Yeah. They're asking him, they're interviewing after, like, how in the world did you do it, Dr. Gills? And he said, I mastered the art of speaking to myself rather than listening to myself. That's what I hear you doing, right? These verses, these things that you meditate on. You mentioned you pray, you read, you meditate, you journal every morning. So that way you can remind yourself of your worth. You can speak life into your life when the lies of the enemy are trying to invade your personal headspace, right? So Amen. Being able to do so, the beauty in it is that we find freedom. We find peace. We find confidence in who God has already called us, because we find our identity in who we are by remembering first whose we are. I feel Amen. Like a lot of people, though, Brian, you know, Amen. It can be difficult for some people that are listening today because they view Christianity as just a bunch of rules, right? And it's like, man, but I'm living the free life right now. But they could actually be held in bondage because they're missing out on the opportunity to surrender it all over to God and then to embrace a life of more so, let's say, discipline, because we're trying to become not perfect, right? God doesn't demand perfection. But what he does ask for is he asks for our obedience, which leads to Christ-likeness. I would much rather be more like Christ than be like Brian Dawkins' definition of perfect. You know what I'm saying? So, sir, help us understand the importance of surrender in our daily lives and how that can help somebody understand that they can find freedom in disciplining themselves to Christ.
So I think a question before this, I mentioned that, matter of fact, at the beginning of the last question, I started it off by saying that the creator of a thing knows what the thing's purpose is.
Right.
Right. So if you and I, Zach, we go out and we do what we feel like is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. If we use human logic of what the world has said is the thing that is to do, right? And the thing that we go do is tantalizing to the flesh. So it gives you dopamine, yep. right? It gives you the pleasure hormones that doing something and it seems to be fun, right? There's a way that seems right to, but in the end, it leads to destruction. So it seems like it's the right way and it's having a good time. Matter of fact, we could be even, Zach, we could actually go and do something that allows us to amass a lot of wealth.
Yep.
A lot of wealth, right? But ultimately, when it's all said and done, every last one of us will leave this earth. And where we spend eternity is based off of how we utilize what God has given us on this side of heaven. That's where we will spend eternity, not just based off of that, because obviously it's accepting Christ into our lives as our personal Lord and Savior, but our walk of how we go about engaging and using what God has given us to be able to bring glory to him, because that's why we were created. Now, you were talking about obedience. It's a surrender. It's a surrender to our source, the God who created everything, who knows why he created me. Matter of fact, the Bible says it like this, that he knows us while we were before we were formed in our mother's womb. So he knew us from the foundation of the world. And at that time, he knew what we would go on to do. He knew all the things he's planted inside of Brian Dawkins. God knows that. And the only way for me to know anything of what God knows about me is me to surrender to him and his will for me and allow the Holy Spirit to speak. He's the God, the Holy Spirit is all wisdom inside of us. So oftentimes, and this is, I had to come to this revelation as well. Oftentimes we look at verses in the Bible that talks about look to the hills from whence my help comes, right? Mm-hmm. That was them then. That was before Christ died.
Yep. That's right.
And then the Holy Spirit has been put inside of us. So we have his presence inside of us. Mm. So we're not looking, we no longer have to look outward for God's help. We look inward, put through the Holy Spirit to give us the answers to what we're supposed to do with our gifting. Again, I could use the same passion to be doing something dirt. I can use the same drive that I have to go and get illegitimate wealth. But I don't want, just like Solomon in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes constantly talks about, that you want to make sure that the things that we go after are divinely given to me.
That's right.
That's what I want to go after. So there's opportunities that I've said no to many opportunities to make money. I have. And I'm not doing this to brag. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying this because that was not God's plan. God hates cheaters. He hates quick, rich schemes. He hates the oppression of people, right? So I'm not going to do anything that's going to have those things happen, right? So those things that would try to occupy me to get me some quick money or even a lot of money, I'm not heading down that path if it's in that direction. But if it's something that God has given me and placed in my spirit because I've asked for wisdom, and the Bible said that you ask for wisdom, it will be given to you, right? And through that wisdom, and an idea hits me, but usually that idea is going to bless other people first, and then it's going to bless me. Because our version of success, or our version of capitalism, if you will, is that the greatest among you should serve the most. Mm. So the higher I get, the more I'm supposed to be blessing people, right? Serving people, right? So that's the flip-flop of the kingdom, of a kingdom man, of a kingdom understanding of how we're supposed to be doing this thing. And ultimately, the fruit that I bear is attracting a certain amount of people because they like the fruit that they see coming from me. So that's the question that I need to ask myself always. Am I producing fruit? You know, the fruits of the spirit, or am I producing weeds, right? Is it weeds? Is it tear that I'm producing that people are attracted to tear? They're attracted to some of the fruits, not the fruits, the desires of the flesh, you know, fornication, the adultery, the all of those things, right? Matter of fact, this last thing, and I'll be quiet. If you look at a lot of the successful TV shows and you put them next to that list of the things that they talked about the flesh loves, you will see that they align. That's right. I'll stop there.
It's so true, though. And like you said, I think that's a perfect word that you began that with, which was surrender, right? Being able to surrender, to submit to the Spirit. Our flesh, right, is deceitful above all else, as Scripture says. But being able to understand that, that's why they call it the fruits of the Spirit, right? Not the fruit of Brian or the fruit of Zach. No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And like you said, being able to turn it inward and say, okay, Spirit, I need your help here, right? I may be feeling this type of way. I may be desiring this type of thing, but I know this is not being obedient to you. Can you give me that resurrection power that you can give to other people? And I love what you said about serving others, right? I think of the verse that says that Christ, the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. And in knowing that, like you said, the higher you go up, the more leadership, the more responsibility, the more opportunity that God provides us with, the more we are called to be more like him in our service to other people. Yes. Brian, you continued to grow in your faith. You built this relationship with God. You understood the foundation on which he wanted you to stand. You began to continue to thrive in and throughout your NFL career. Like I said, becoming one of the greatest NFL safeties of all time, known as one of the greatest defensive players of all time. But I got to ask a couple fun questions for a second before we close up on a serious note. First off, man, where did this animal-like, dog-like, coming out of the tunnel passion, like, where did that even come from? When did it begin?
So that has always been a part of me. I'm that kid growing up that when I did play baseball, which I hated, I didn't like baseball a whole lot. I'm sorry, Zach.
It's okay, I understand.
I'm the kid that's going to cry. If I strike out, I'm going to cry. If we lose, I'm going to cry. I'm that kid that does not want to shake hands, that you have to, I had to be made to shake hands after the game, stuff like that. Like I was very emotional in that way. So And then on top of that, I was one of the smaller kids. I was always quick and fast. I was never the biggest kid. So not a lot was expected of me. So that's where that anger came. I felt resentment. I felt angry. And I used anger a whole lot when I was young. I told you earlier, I was an angry young man. And so it was there, but it was disguised. I said it early as anger, passion, my passion to excel, my passion to, but I also developed the mindset that I have to outwork everybody. Like, I got to outwork everybody because I'm not the biggest, everybody's looking over me to all of these other cats that are bigger than me. So I'm going to outwork every last one of them. So you might be bigger than me, fat, but you would never outwork me. So that's the mindset that I developed. But again, I developed that from a place of anger, right? What I then became to understand, though, is when I really began to study the Word of God and the Holy Spirit really began to work in and through me, is I developed a healthy dose of fear, if you will. And I call fear this. Unhealthy fear is focusing erroneously, altering your reality. That's unhealthy fear, right? So I developed a healthy fear, though. Yeah. A fear of letting my teammates down. Mm. A fear of being, letting the fans down. I developed a healthy fear. So I was going to do everything in my power not to let them down. So you can always count on me. You won't have to worry about anything being written in the paper about Brian Dawkins that will prevent him from playing in the next game. I'm going to be there. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you all I have, not all I have left. Some of my teammates gave us what they had left because they were doing a lot of stuff during the week, partying and stuff like that. Not talking about anybody. I'm just putting you into my mindset. My mindset was I need to be 100%. Everything that I have to give, I got to be able to do it. So I'm getting my rest. I'm getting off of my feet. I'm eating the right things. I'm getting massages and stretched, all those things. Why? Ultimately, because I cared so much. I cared about my teammates so much. And I wanted to make sure that when I go onto the field, that I give everything I got and do it as unto the Lord. Like, I was literally preaching on game day by the way that I played. So that's what it turned into, a healthy version of me just letting it go on the field. I'm going to act a fool on the field. And I know I can because I prepared during the week. I'm all prayed up during the week. I'm not worried about nothing. I'm not concerned about nothing. And I was so hyped up. Like, I'm yelling and screaming and all that stuff. I'm not doing that to get hype. I'm doing that because I was hyped, because I know what I was about to do. They didn't know what I was about. I knew. I had already prayed about it. I had already seen some of this stuff and some of my vision. So I knew what I was about to do. So that's what it turned into. And it really gave me a sense. And it's just hard for people to see. Like, I was literally just able to be myself 100%, not pretending to be nothing other than just me. And I felt like a predator, because I love Animal Planet. Yes. So that's where the bear crawl came. Like, I love Animal Planet. I love big cats, and I love how they crouch and how they sneak and how they pounce. And so, yeah. So it's like, I'm about to go eat. So it's games coming out of the tunnel. I'm like,
yes,
I'm about to go eat. So yeah, that's the first crawl that happened. And then that became a part of it. It turned kind of into Wolverine and Weapon X, but it literally came from me understanding that I can channel all of that rage and aggression and all that stuff into a direction and opening up on game day and act a fool.
I love it, Brian, because what some people need to understand is, even as a Christian athlete, you can still have the passion and the charisma to go out there and to compete to the very best of your ability, right? God's word even says, if you're going to run, run to win. You know what I'm saying? And my thing is this, a lot of people maybe don't view it in that light. You mentioned fear. I've always heard that an unhealthy view of fear is forget everything and run, and a healthy view of fear is face everything and rise, right? Like you said, given everything you have, not everything you have left, and understanding that God wanted you to do that because he's gifted you with the opportunity and the gifts and the talents to play football, and what you do with those were your gift back to him. Brian, one question I got for you.
Well, let's last thing. Hold on. So how I developed that mindset, what you just talked about, of being able to utilize this in a way from a biblical standpoint, is I watched one of the dudes that I looked up to, and that was Reggie White. So early on in my walk as a Christian, and you know, you know, meek is all about meekness, and it's, so I thought meekness to be like soft, or I thought meekness to be, you know, gentle, and you know, turning the other cheek. I thought that that was how you always had to be. So I couldn't be the way that I was, because now this is what this, again, this is my mindset trying to operate as a Christian on the field.
Yeah.
And then I saw Reggie play. And I saw him dominate.
Right.
And I saw him punish people. And if someone stayed down a little longer than it's expected, he would stop and pray. I was like, that's it. I see it. I see how it can be done to glorify God, to play with aggression, full speed, give everything that I have, because I'm honoring him by doing it this way, right? Yeah. And then someone stays down to pray over them and literally stop everything, switch, take off my hat, take off all of the things, aggression, and go into a compassionate, I'm praying for this dude, to bless him, to get up, to make sure that he does not stop playing so that he can provide for his family, all of those things, right? I saw it. And then also during that time, I recognized that meekness is power under control.
Yes. Yes.
Power under control. And I was like, oh my goodness. And again, these revelations blew me away when I truly understood that the power that I had, I don't lose it. I just control it. Not me now, but the Holy Spirit allows me and helps me to control it so I can unleash it when I want to. Oh my goodness.
That is so good. Meekness is power under control. And speaking of some of that power for a second, I got to ask you here before we close it up, what is kind of just a memory or a moment that you had in your career? Obviously, you have several, but what is like a hit that you remember laying the wood on somebody? And it's like, dude, that one still sticks with me to this day.
For fans, the most memorable hit will be Algie Crumper, because of the game that I did it in. It was in the NFC Championship game, and we finally won to get to the Super Bowl. So that's the one that the fans will remember. And that was a hard hit. It was.
Yeah.
The most violent hit that I have ever had, though, was on Michael Vick. A couple of years before that in the playoffs when we were playing in at the Vet.
Right.
That's the most violent hit I've ever had. He was running full speed from like the 30-yard line this way, coming towards this way, and I was in coverage in the back of the end zone on the left side of the end zone, and I ran full speed from the back of the end zone, and we met at the 2-yard line. And so he didn't see me coming. He was looking to his side at Bobby Taylor at one way, and I hit him full speed this way, and that was basically a car crash, and I literally knocked myself out. I was out.
Oh my goodness.
I remember getting to him, and I remember waking up nauseous. That's all I remember.
Oh my.
And I should not have played the rest of that game. But, you know, in today's NFL, I would not have went back on the football field. Back then, you know, there'd be some get everything together sauce. That a little bit, you know, and then you go back on the wake up sauce and you go back on the field. But that is the most violent hit that I've ever had, is that one.
Wow, Brian, I love that. It's cool hearing some of those memories and just those moments that still stick with you to today. You know, as we close up, my friend, one of my favorite quotes of yours that's always stood out to me, you said, there is always purpose to your pain.
Yes.
I think of James chapter 1, verses 2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, for we know that the testing of our faith goes on to produce perseverance. So let perseverance finish its race so that you may be mature, complete, lacking nothing. And why I think that sticks out to me is because we don't consider it pure joy because of the trial or the tribulation or the suffering, but we can consider it pure joy because of what that trial, tribulation, or suffering can and will produce within us if we allow the Lord to let it. Brian, as we close up today, to the listener out there who maybe feels discouraged, disappointed, maybe even to the point of defeat, what is the pressing word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you have, that God's really placed on your heart for them in this moment, to help them realize that their perspective is what will always steer their potential?
Yeah. And that's the most powerful thing that you just said during that whole time, is that perspective. It's how you're looking Whose lens are you looking through?
Mm.
Yours? Or are you looking through a heavenly lens, a divine lens? Understand this, that if you have ever wanted, because I have, I wanted to be one of those heroes of the Bible. You know, I want to be one of those individuals that God used in a mighty way to bless his people in some sort of way, right? Now, when you go and read their stories, though, you recognize that every last one of them went through some tumultuous things before they got into the leadership position.
Mm.
But it was in those times that God began to develop the leader that situation needed. That's what our trials and perseverances push us. When we push through those things, that's what it does. Mm. So it brings, I say it like this, that pressure reveals the heart of a person.
Mm.
It reveals where you are. And then in that moment, you get the chance to then ask for help from God to help you to channel that, to get rid of those things that have surfaced, and then to move forward with those strengths that you have gained from it. I lift weights to this day, and it's a lifestyle. You mentioned it before we even got on, right?
Okay.
It's a lifestyle. But here's what I recognize. I recognize that I can't lift the same weight over and over again and expect to get stronger. You can kind of build some endurance that way, but your muscles at some point will get used to doing the same thing over and over again. So in order for me to get stronger, I got to put more weight on the bar. Now, when more weight is put on the bar, oftentimes, the smart person will ask for a spotter. So the question I would ask you is, who's spotting you?
Ooh.
In your life, who's spotting you? Because some of these situations that God, you know, allows in our lives, because always remember this, if you're going through something, we're supposed to grow through it, and God has allowed it, right? So who is in your corner that is helping you, that can spot you with some of this weight, to get some of this weight off, right? That's what you need to ask yourself and pray over, because ultimately, once you push to a certain extent, somebody else helps you pull it the rest of the way, then you'll be a little bit stronger. Why? Because you did push it.
Mm.
And then you recognize you have people in your corner to help you out, right? Yeah. So that was what I developed. I call it my blessed pack. I have four people in my life that I can call at any time. And we can talk about any subject, and I can be real with them. I don't have to sugarcoat nothing. I know that they're not going to judge me, and I know they're going to pray for me and with me before we get off that phone, and continue to pray and send me motivational, inspirational things through the duration, right? So I have those people in my corner, right? These are the individuals that we all need. But ultimately, when God allows these things to happen in our life, see, God is an intentional God, if you did not know this or not.
Right.
He does not allow things to happen just to let them happen.
Mm.
There's a reason that he allows things in our lives. And then when we come back to him with those things, with our questions, he will give us the reasons why at some point in the future, right? Not all the time. I won't say that, because it's not all the time. But I will tell you, though, that you will be stronger when you grow through life's situations, when you allow God to help you in it, and then you allow other people to help you with those things that you can't get off your chest as well. But ultimately, it's for you to have the experience in an area that's going to touch somebody else down the road. This is what I truly believe. The things that I've grown through in my life, I can speak to specific individuals. I mentioned earlier about fruit. Some of the fruit that I'm bearing is from going through the depression that I went through. It's going through the thinking, having the suicide thoughts that I had during that time. I reach a certain amount of people because they hear me and they're like, wow, you went through that too. I'm like, yep, I went through that too. And when I say went through it, that means I'm on the other side of it, right? Okay. So it's the same thing with you and your situations, whatever it is. So when you're in it, don't think too hard about it. Ask God about it. Why am I here? What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me? And then ultimately, trust him. Trust him.
Mm. Brian, that's so good, right? Adversity can either best you or it can bring the best out of you. Oftentimes, yes. Though, in the midst of our mess, we lose sight of the victory. But what you're really saying is God did not come to free us from the fight. No, God came to free us for the fight. And we never have to fight alone. Brian Dawkins, my friend, thank you so much just for your willingness, your openness, your vulnerability. Dude, that was a fun conversation. I appreciate you and all that God is doing in and through your life, my friend. We are going to continue to pray for you here at Ignite Men's Ministry and just all that you have going on. Thank you again for your time today.
Now, and I can't wait. I can't wait to next year.
Right.
I can't wait to the next year's challenges. I can't wait.
Hey, I appreciate you, Brian.
All right, brother.
Man, you guys, I don't know about you, but I was so encouraged by today's episodes and throughout the entire message, really, that Brian Dawkins came and shared with us. But I want to leave you with a quote. Brian said, "There's always purpose to your pain. So for those who may be going through it, there is hope. There's something on the other side of this. Don't get caught up and stay where you are. Keep moving and keep pushing through." My friends, sometimes life will hit you with an unexpected blow. Sometimes it gets really difficult and really dark and really turbulent. And in those times, we can begin to feel alone. But I loved that word that Brian brought to us there toward the latter half of the interview where he said, "Who's spotting you? Who is spotting you in life, my friends?" Sometimes we need people fuel to help push us and to help carry us and to help really lift and maybe lighten our burdens or our load along the way throughout life. God loves to channel his messages of hope and encouragement and motivation in and through other people in the midst of us to remind us again of our purpose and of our greatest passions, even in the midst of our greatest pains. My friends, who's in your corner? Who's spotting you? Don't you dare give up, and remember that there is always somebody that loves you, that is for you, and that is never against you. And I want to remind you of this as well. If all you seek is the approval of others, you become held captive by those who applaud. Most people clap for you because they have to, not because they want to. But my friends, when you begin not only to play sports, but to live a life that is honoring and glorifying of God and is seeking the approval of only the nail-scarred hands, you begin to remember that he is always applauding you. He is always championing you. He is always encouraging you and carrying you through each and every step of the way. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter about their opinions. Just believe that God is for you. And if he is for you, who could ever be against you? My friends, he will help push you and carry you through. And even in the midst of the darkest moments in your life, he is right there by your side. The Lord is near. Practice his presence and his power in your daily life. And I promise you, you'll begin to see some breakthrough that you could have never imagined or even fathomed before. My friends, I hope you enjoyed that testimony of Brian Dawkins today. If you want to get connected with him and get involved in all the incredible things that he is doing, please make sure to visit his website today. It's briandawkins.com. Super easy. briandawkins.com. briandawkins.com. You guys, he is incredible. He always offers such encouragement and hope and motivation to so many people's lives. Follow him on social media. I mean, he will bring the heat to you and the passion each and every day. But also, if you're interested in listening to Brian speak in person, be sure to sign up today at ignitemen.net to come and attend our upcoming 2024 Ignite Men's Impact Weekend next March of 2024 at Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. Brian Dawkins will be there alongside of Tim Tebow, Craig Rochelle, Tim Timberlake, Pastor Ted Cunningham, and so many others. We cannot wait to see what God is going to do in and throughout that entire event. And I'm telling you something, Brian was just telling me after our interview today that he has a very special word that he wants to bring in to deliver those men that are going to be in attendance there next March in 2024. So do not miss it. Please join us. You guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. And as always, we love you and we look forward to seeing you next time right here on the Built Different Podcast.